Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And if you're out there across America, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Mr. C. William Michaels, and I had read a summary of his book. It's not off the press yet. It will be very, very soon. In fact, I think it's going to be off the press today or tomorrow, and we will probably be carrying this book. But I wanted to interview him, and of course he goes into what is going on in our country as we move towards a national security state, towards a constitutional dictatorship, and of course he deals at great length with the so-called USA Patriot Act, and I dare say there's not one person in a thousand in America who knows what that acronym stands for, but I'm sure we get Mr. Michaels to tell us today. And of course the threat to our liberty in the name of fighting terrorism, the threat to our liberty in the name of maintaining security. Mr. Michaels, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, now, I really don't have a great deal. I've got the first 40 or 50 pages of your book here, which I've had a chance to read. Is the title No Greater Threat?
The main title is No Greater Threat. That's right. And then there's a subtitle called America After September 11th and the Rise of a National Security State.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself? Obviously, we think very, very similar in many respects. But why don't you tell us who you are and how you happened to write this book?
Well, I'm an attorney. I've been involved in a variety of activist-type issues, mostly from the left side of the spectrum.
All right, fine. Well, that's all right. Because sometimes we will agree on many, many issues.
Well, like they say, you know, a bird needs the left wing and the right wing to fly.
All right,
so,
fine.
That's been my perspective for probably about 20 or 30 years.
All right,
and I've had a variety of positions, some full-time in those issues. And I think I started paying attention more carefully to what was going on after the Patriot Act was passed, soon after the September 11th tragedies. And then soon after that came the executive order on the military tribunals. And soon after that came the State of the Union address. And soon after that came the Homeland Security executive order establishing that particular office within the White House. But as you know, it's most likely going to become a department in the federal government. So all of those things combined, including some rather personal experiences at the airport soon after September 11th, began to get me thinking. And I started to get more into the research of this, and it started to grow into a manuscript.
Uniting and strengthening America by providing appropriate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism, the USA Patriot Act. Talk about spending an awful lot of time coming up with an acronym that would give this idea this was going to be patriotic, and it isn't patriotic at all. In fact, it basically is all the legislation Bill Clinton couldn't get through back in 1995 after the bombing of the Murrah Building, and George Bush got it through for him.
And after the bombing, the original bombing of the World Trade Center, that's
right.
Correct. And it's interesting how many civil libertarians who come from that perspective and many conservatives who come from the perspective of limited government and government staying, out of people's private lives are starting to join forces in their concern over this act, and with good reason.
All right.
Because the Patriot Act does, with very few pieces of legislation in the United States have ever done, and significantly changes the rules for both the surveillance and prosecution of American citizens as well as foreign nationals and aliens living in our country who do have due process rights according to the Supreme Court. That's very clear. And it expands the whole concept of surveillance, investigation, information sharing, domestic terrorism, the federal crime of terrorism, and it just goes on and on.
Well, let's sort of get into that as much as we can, because I think people really know what is in this Patriot Act and why everybody, whether they be on the left or whether they be on the right, ought to be concerned about it. And, you know, one of the things that really bothers me, this is a little to the side, but I find so many traditional conservatives rallying behind this war without ever giving it a serious thought. I mean, it's supposedly that we want to limit government, we want to stay out of other people's problems, you know, we want everybody to be free, and suddenly we've got to go to war over there in the Middle East, and we're threatening to use nuclear weapons over there, you know, if things get out of hand. What sort of madness has gripped the American people? Don't they understand that first of all, liberty and limited government are synonymous. When you have an all-powerful state, there's no way you're going to have limited government. And as we get into this war, there are going to be more and more crises and violence in this country, which will only justify ever more loss of our individual freedom in the name of security.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a very interesting statement in Lexington and Concord, if ever been there, where it all started. And it says that a government big enough to give you everything you want is also big enough to take everything you have.
Amen to that.
And it needs to be very carefully watched what's going on. And I think what my book tries to do, far beyond simply the Patriot Act analysis, is a description and discussion of what I characterize as 12 common factors of a national security state and how the government is, or how America is really moving toward fulfilling those factors, more or less.
All right, well, let's get into this idea of the national security state. In other words, a state where everything is watched. You go into a store, there's a video camera watching you. You walk along the street, there's a video camera. You drive along the highway, there's a video camera watching you. You know, and then, of course, the ability of the intelligence agencies or the police to search your home, and they don't even let you know what they've done or what they've stolen. Imagine how
frustrating. Peak warrants, that's right.
Right, and of course, imagine how difficult. You know, whenever I lose something in the house, it always bothers me. It's usually there. But now, of course, any time I lose something, I'm going to wonder, well, were they here while we were at church, going through our things? What possible justification is there for a sneak and peek search, searching your home without your knowledge and taking things, stealing things from your home to use as evidence against you, and you don't even know what they've stolen?
Yeah.
And who is to say we can trust the government agents? And we're going to be back here in just a moment here at the Radio Liberty Network. Well, this is the time, of course, when I want to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience, we hope that, you'll want to get some of our products. Certainly, with Christmas coming up, if you have children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren in government schools, you need to get a Phonopoly set so they can learn how to read and spell and begin to think phonetically and sound out words. Actually, there are 5 board games and 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books as well. And 16 to 20 hours, you can reprogram a child's mind to begin to read and speak phonetically. And, of course, you'll learn the 40 sounds of the English language. You will learn the 12 rules as far as spelling. And you'll be amazed how much you as an adult will learn, and you would benefit from having one of these as well. It's called Phonopoly, and it's $139.95. Most of these programs are $200-$400. This one's $139.95 plus shipping. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you have children in government schools, you want to get them a Robinson homeschool curriculum, and you want to get them out of the government schools because they're not going to educate them. They're going to indoctrinate them. Here's an opportunity on 22 CDs to get a superb education put together by a great educator. His 6 children used it. There are 50,000 out across America. And it'll take them from first grade to graduation. The tests, the texts, the lesson plans are all there. All you have to buy in addition are the Saxon Mass books. It's $199.95 plus shipping. That's the Robin Homeschool curriculum. If you'd like more information on it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And as my son pointed out, it'd be a wonderful Christmas present for any child you love.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is C. William Michaels, and we're talking about his book, going into the background of what's going on in the world today. And, of course, when will the book actually be available?
I imagine that the publisher will have it available within the next week.
All right, fine. And I think that we probably will want to be carrying it. I'm looking forward to reading the whole thing. It's called No Greater Threat, and then with a subtitle. And it goes into the Patriot Act. Does the average person know what's in the Patriot Act? There's nothing patriotic about that. They put an acronym on there, so you'd think that they were protecting our liberties. This is a thinly disguised effort to take away our liberties. It's not very thinly disguised. It's so obvious when you see that we're laying ourselves open for a police state in the name of preserving freedom. And, of course, almost everything that has happened since the terrorist attack was scripted ahead of time. The Office of Homeland Security was certainly laid out and planned by the United States Commission on Security in the 21st Century. And the Phase 3 plan, released January 31st of the year 2001, lays out the whole plan for everything that's happened. But they had to have an excuse. They had to get, because some means of a major upheaval, a major crisis, to get the Congress to vote on it, because what it does is simply restructure our whole form of government and, of course, limit the power of Congress and the courts and increase the power of the executive branch of government, as they do in any authoritarian society. If you get at all into that, or are you primarily with the Patriot Act?
Well, the Patriot Act is a fair piece of the analysis of the book, but because there are 10 titles to the Patriot Act, not everyone is aware of how extensive it really is.
Well,
I spent a fair amount of time going through that, but then I go into the whole national security state discussion.
All right, fine. Well, let's get into the Patriot Act. Let's just go down through that, and because I probably can learn a lot from you. So why don't you start out? Let me play the devil's advocate. What's wrong? Don't we need more laws so we can deal with the threat of terrorism and maintain our freedom? And now tear that argument apart.
Well, that's the $64,000 question, but I would say most of the enforcement and surveillance and investigative powers that the federal government needs to do a good job protecting American borders from terrorist attack, assuming that that's even possible, is already existed, I think, in large measure.
And of course, they
before
just
the Patriot Act was enacted.
And they just refused to enact. I mean, back in the mid-1990s, Congress passed a law that they were to seal our borders and begin checking people coming in on their visas and keep track of them, you know, and, if they didn't leave on time, they were to go after them. They were criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And the INS just refused to obey the law.
That was the Anti-Terrorism and Effective
Right.
Death Penalty Act. 1996,
right?
Which I think, to a large extent, was borrowed. The Patriot Act borrows from various existing federal laws, so that's one of them. Another one is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and another is certain banking laws. There's an entire portion of the Patriot Act that almost nobody is talking about, called Title III, which is called the International Money Laundering Abatement and Anti-Terrorist Financing Act of 2001. This allows the federal government to impose what's called special measures on banks that may have a relationship in certain banking accounts with foreign banks that could be a source of terrorist financing. Those special measures can be imposed without a court order. They require the banks that are subject to special measures to provide all kinds of information secretly to the federal government for a period of 120 days, which can then be extended. And those special measures can be imposed at any bank in the country whenever the federal government wished to. There's another aspect of the Title III that has to do with enhanced minimum due diligence that banks will now have to impose on almost all accounts, including accounts that are opened by foreign nationals. There is an effort in Title III to establish a new system of identifying foreign nationals by a specific number, sort of like a Social Security number, and no one has even estimated the cost of establishing a system like that.
All right, fine. We've got Fred calling in from Salinas. Fred, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment that this USA Patriot Act and the Homeland Security Act was passed by the House in January, I think, but...
No, basically the Homeland... Well, the Patriot Act was actually became law in October of the 26th.
Well, I'm talking about the Homeland Security Act.
No, Homeland Security Act is still going to make
right.
its way through Congress.
It hasn't been passed through the Senate yet. They're still arguing over...
Senator Byrd has been filibustering that. He filibustered all last week, and he started this week filibustering that.
All right, well, there are a lot of things bad in that thing. And
to stop that act, and he said... that'll be passed over his dead body before they get that through.
All right, fine. The House has already passed it. The Senate's still arguing over some things.
The Senate, and it's Senator Byrd. It's been absolutely fascinating to watch him do this filibuster on it because he's explained what the pitfalls that the government can get into people's lives. That
well, of course, it's a complete restructure of government. But it's the Patriot Act that really gets into your lives.
That's right, and it's unfortunate. I mean, it's interesting to see Senator Byrd kind of stepping up to the plate on the Homeland Security Act, but most of the senators were kind of a day late and a dollar short now because it was passed. The Patriot Act was passed by the Senate by a vote of 98-1. The only dissenting vote was, I believe, Russ Feingold.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, in the House of Representatives, the Patriot Bill went through, and according to Congressman Ron Paul, nobody was allowed to read it before they voted on it. He was only one of three Republicans who voted against it.
Yeah, I think the vote in the House on the final version was 357-66.
Right.
Anyway, Senator Byrd is putting his two bits in right now.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Fred, and you let us know what he does there, okay?
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. But of course, they're going to get this thing through one way or the other.
Yes, I think Byrd is swimming upstream, even though he's trying very hard to bring public attention to what's been happening. But what I'm trying to say in the book, of course, is that this is just a piece of the elephant. That the Patriot Act may be maybe the whole large body of the elephant, but there's an awful lot more going on in the executive order establishing the military tribunals and the executive order establishing the Office of Homeland Security and the executive order establishing new security measures for the government, including cybersecurity, infrastructure protection, and the executive orders involving the presidents and invocation of emergency powers concerning reservists and the armed forces. And a continued movement on the executive branch and in terms of government regulations that are being issued under the Patriot Act. I mean, we are on a road here that is moving very quickly to a place where I'm not sure many Americans want to be.
Well, you know, one of the most interesting things is that one of the things is that now the FBI is going to be able to monitor churches and monitor the books that are taken out of the library. And, of course, people are saying, well, you know, we've got to give them all this power because we're in a battle against terrorism. Well, I simply ask people, now how many of those people who were involved in the Islamic attack or the attack on the World Trade Center go to churches? How many of them do you think are going to churches in America today? How many Islamic terrorists do you think are going to churches? None of them are. This has nothing to do with terrorism. It has to do with police state tactics so they can monitor churches, and I suppose they'll monitor some mosques as well. Mm-hmm. But this is for everybody, and they're using the guise of terrorism to justify police state because, at least according to Congressman Ron Paul, the definition of terrorism is so vague, almost anybody or anything can be considered a terrorist.
Well, the definition of the new crime that's called domestic terrorism is really, really rather vague. But there is an expanded definition of what was called the federal crime of terrorism that already existed, which adds a whole new list of things that will come under the federal crime of terrorism, including cyber terrorism, that is, violations of certain existing federal laws involving computers and computer trespassing. What a lot of people don't realize is that we're moving very quickly with this Patriot Act and federal surveillance into computer and internet use, and an awful lot more activity is going to be going on. The carnivore program that's been mentioned by a lot of civil libertarians who are concerned about this is just going to be the tip of the iceberg.
Explain to our listeners what carnivore is. They may not know that term, but indeed, carnivore is sort of like somebody tearing the flesh off an animal, tearing off the flesh, but this
well,
is tearing away.
It's a nickname actually given to an FBI program that allows the FBI to go into a service provider on the Internet and read all emails, all of them.
Well, of course, the NSA has been doing that for a long time illegally. What they have really done is made everything they've been doing before illegally legal now.
Almost.
Right. And that's what's so frightening is we have had for many years a lawless government. In the name of protecting us, they were reading our emails and they were listening to our telephone calls and monitoring our faxes. And they knew exactly what the terrorists were doing. They'd been monitoring everything they'd done. But amazingly, they didn't do anything about it. But
well,
now
this is where I may differ with you, Doctor. I think that there is a certain thing to be said that no matter how careful you plan, and no matter how studiously you watch, and how vigorously you patrol, there is just no defense against suicidal madness. And I think anyone in the law enforcement community who actually would have possibly contemplated ahead of time something like this happening, should be praised for his clairvoyance, because I just don't think that anybody at all would have possibly conceived of what went on September 11th.
I'll have to send you a copy of my latest video, but that's another subject.
Diabolical and totally out of the blue.
All right, we're going to have to go ahead and take a quick break here, and when we get back, we'll invite your calls at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, of course, this is a time we want to just talk about some of the other things that you can do to help us here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, one of them would be to change your long-distance carrier. Now we've tried various long-distance carriers. The one we really fit on that we like has been very good is Promise Vision. The number is 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. And, of course, when you call, you get a real live human being. You don't have to get on the merry-go-round. And 15% of whatever your long-distance calls come to will revert to Radio Liberty and help us do what we do. So we hope that many of you out there will consider changing your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. And certainly it's a Christian, the long-distance carrier. And I know the people there have been in it. We're pleased with them. We think you will be too. Again, the telephone number, 866-448-5631, and they've got all the services any other long-distance carrier has, only you get a real live human being when you call. And then, of course, we hope many of you will consider very seriously using the Miracle 2 soap products. And, of course, we think they're very, very good. We use them in our own home. We have for over a year now. And we get all sorts of wonderful reports from people. I mean, I find it difficult to believe anything could be this good. But people keep telling us, that it does this or that or the other thing. And these are spontaneous letters that people will send us. And if you'd like to try the Miracle 2 soap products, they're a soap and a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a neutral and a gel. You can get an introductory selection for $74.95. A great gift, and of course, we can't make any medical claims, but the people who use these really seem to think they've helped, and I think you'd enjoy them. Call right now.
Could you believe that there is an organized effort to dumb down children all across America? As we see falling SAT scores, it's very easy to say, well, gee, we need to just spend more money. That'll solve our problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't solve the problem at all, because there is an organized program within the hierarchy of education to dumb down our children intentionally. Outcome-Based Education is a fascinating book written by Pamela Hobbs Hofker and Pat Lutzik, going into the background of the program of the humanists who gained control of the educational establishment in the United States to change the attitude of our children, to change their attitude towards God and family and country. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Outcome-Based Education. Once you understand what they're doing to your children, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon, William Michaels, and of course his book is dealing with the tragedy. It's called No Greater Threat. It goes into the Patriot Bill and the progressive erosion of the freedom of the American people. And of course, we were talking about what the bill really stipulates. Now, you say there are 10 parts to the bill?
Yes, and in fact, I'm glad we got back to that, because I thought it would be interesting if I just took a couple of seconds to simply read to you the names of the 10 titles.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
This will just take just a few seconds. Title 1, of course, this Patriot Act is already the law of the land. Title 1, enacting domestic security against terrorism. Title 2, enhanced surveillance procedures. Title 3, the International Money Laundering Abatement and Anti-Terrorist Financing Act of 2001. That's the new banking regulations I mentioned. Title 4 is called Protecting the Border. Title 5 is called Removing Obstacles to Investigating Terrorism. Title 6 is called Providing for Victims of Terrorism, Public Safety Officers, and Their Families. The one piece of the Patriot Act that really is not of great concern. Title 7, Increased Information Sharing for Critical Infrastructure Protection. Title 8, Strengthening the Criminal Laws Against Terrorism, which basically rewrites criminal laws involving terrorism, terrorist activity. Title 9, Improved Intelligence. And Title 10, Miscellaneous.
Well, now, of course, the argument would be, well, look, we've got to do something to prevent the terrorists from taking over our country. We've got to do something to defend the American people against terrorism.
Well, I certainly think that increased government surveillance, and to a certain extent, is wise. Certainly, improved security at airports. I'd said improved, not more, because more is not necessarily better, especially at airports. Would be wise. Perhaps a new approach toward the roots of terrorism, and perhaps looking at the long term, the long view of the United States' role in the world and how that plays into the whole terrorism picture would be another approach. But I don't think that shredding the Constitution and dumping the Fourth and Fifth Amendments is going to be the way to do that, because then we become less of a nation. And then what is it? What are the freedoms that we are so interested in protecting if we keep passing statutes like this that will simply make the government stronger in its investigation of citizens and aliens, but not necessarily better in its ability to protect us against terrorism, if that's really our goal?
Well, but is that really our goal, or is this being used as a vehicle to expand the power of government over our lives? Because they knew many of these terrorists before. They had a terrorist watch list at the airports, and they just sort of forgot to put the terrorist names on there. They did have a lot of my friends had names on there, though. I mean, Christian grandmothers and Christian evangelists, and they were, of course, getting everything searched, but they weren't searching the terrorists. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, I certainly think there's been a great amount of overkill in respect to airport security and searches, and looking at that whole issue. It obviously is going to be the goal of the federal government that a fly holding a paperclip is not going to get through detection. And I'm not sure if that's going to really save us. Any terrorist smart enough to have done anything as diabolical as what happened on September 11th is also smart enough to not walk wholesale through a whole new security grid. So obviously there are going to be efforts to look for the chinks in the armor, and we're going to see a new act of terrorism, unfortunately, if that happens, and I certainly don't wish it. But if it happens, it's going to be from an entirely different quarter, maybe from an entirely different range of people. So in a country that is dedicated itself to being an egalitarian society, in a country as large as ours, as populous as ours, you simply are not going to be able to lock the place down to try to solve the problem of terrorism, which is a global problem. It's not simply a problem to the United States alone, and it's not simply a problem that begins and ends at U.S. borders.
You're absolutely right, and of course there's terrorism all over all over Europe, and of course when they are attacking terrorists at Luxor, here are a lot of innocent terrorists going over there. I think 1997 there And, of course, the band of people come in with their machine guns and just start machine gunning innocent people standing there. Killed 67 or 68 of them. I don't know how many they wounded. We've seen, of course, the attacks on our military facilities in Riyadh and Saudi and
both
our towers, and certainly and Yemen, and, you know, with the bombing of the coal and our embassies. And but, of course, it's not just American. I mean, they've been attacking the French embassies. They've been attacking people all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very well-coordinated organization and very very well-financed. And, of course, why didn't they do something about the financing before this attack? Because they knew it was there. In fact, they knew a lot of it was being financed from America back in 1996, but they did absolutely nothing to stop it until now. And then they come up with these draconian laws. This is what concerns me.
Well, it concerns me, too, and I'm not so sure, when looking at the numbers, how much of the financing is really from America. Some of it may be flowing through American banks, but I'm sure a fair amount of the financing for some of the Middle East terrorists comes from countries like Libya, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Kuwait. There are a lot of very rich sheikhs and members of royal families and government officials who have their hands and access to huge amounts of cash that can never be traced, that are probably going through Swiss banks as well as American banks and financing this kind of thing. And that's where I think the international financing, the Terrorist Financing Act, the Title III of the Patriot Act, is really going to have a rather limited overall effect, even though its provisions are some of the most amazing pieces of banking law and regulation that you have ever seen passed by Congress.
Well, how will it affect the average listener out there? In other words, will it have any impact on them, the law-abiding citizen? I'm talking about the loyal American.
I'm not sure that Title III is going to reach into every ordinary citizen's checking and savings accounts. You're certainly not going to see any problems with your ATM machine due to Title III. But I think the problem that we need to look at is as the fringes start to get closer and little is done to stop it, pretty soon the government is going to realize, well, if we can do this, then we're going to be able to do that. And some years later, you'll see another law passed that's going to be even worse than this. So don't yet be feel safe that your checking account isn't being seized if the government has got powers that it should never have in the first place when it comes to other people, you know. And this is two things that I think we need to make very, very clear with respect to the Patriot Act in terms of what people can do and how to watch the development of the situation in the future. Title II of the Patriot Act, some of the most serious search and seizure provisions and the area where a lot of the discussion is being taken place, is supposed to become inactive on December 31st, 2005, automatically. A large portion of Title II is supposed to be inactivated on that date. And then Title III, the entire Title III, is supposed to be inactivated on October 1st, 2005, if Congress passes a joint resolution saying so. And I think people have to be careful to watch those dates to make sure that Congress has held to its promise to not meddle with the inactive provision for Title II and let that happen, and to be sure that joint resolution for Title III is passed when Congress says they're going to pass it, because I think Congress is counting on the complacency of the American people and the fact that folks have got short memories and they're spending a lot of their time getting kids to soccer games. And on October 2nd, 2005, nothing will have happened and no one will have noticed.
Well, one of the things that bothers me was this definition of terrorism. I'm sure you've read it. I actually haven't read the whole bill. I've just read excerpts. But one of them was, if you want to try to change our government by coercion, something of that sort.
Yeah.
Well, of course, there has been an organized effort in my part, in my belief, to change our government by coercion, by altering how the American people perceive liberty and our history. But, of course, they could twist that around to anything at all. I mean, certainly anybody who is politically active is trying to coerce somebody to believe as they do. I think that this has nothing to do with Islamic terrorism. This would appear to be an effort on the part of the people who already have power to keep power, and of course to use this anti-terrorism bill against those who oppose them. Would that be a fair concern?
Well, the crime of duress of terrorism is totally new, And it's certainly something that requires a fair amount of watching to see how the government applies it. It basically says that domestic terrorism is activities, and I'm reading from the statute because I've got it right in front of me. The term domestic terrorism means activities that involve acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of the criminal laws, appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, or affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping, and occur primarily within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States. Okay? So let's say somebody throws a tear gas canister into an abortion clinic because they are opposed to abortion, and they pass out little flyers that say, the anti-abortion league of the United States has, committed this act to bring public attention to the need to address the issue of abortion in this country, all right? That is an act of domestic terrorism. The tear gas canister could be considered dangerous to human life. Many people are extremely affected by tear gas, even though it's not fatal, okay? It obviously is an act that occurred within the territorial confines of the United States. It obviously is a criminal act, and it obviously was intended to influence the conduct of government by coercion. And so you've got all the elements.
Well, of course, I don't think you ought to be throwing tear gas into people's homes or into an abortion clinic.
Right.
I think that's not the way to approach this.
Of course not, but that shows you acts which may not would ordinarily be considered a crime in and of itself now have an entirely new label. And the investigation of that act can be brought to bear all of the powers that the Patriot Act now gives to the federal government. Plus, if someone had written a check for, let's say, $1,000 toward the Anti-Abortion League of America, either before or after this act was committed, that person has now provided material support to terrorists.
In other words, what you're saying is that in the name of fighting what most people presume to be Islamic terrorism, they can twist the meaning of these laws around to give them any meaning they want to.
And civil libertarians and activists on my side of the fence are very worried about, let's say, environmental actions, plowshares actions, all kinds of different actions of political protest that are from the anti-government, anti-war side of things that could also possibly be brought into this definition, depending upon how far you want to stretch it. So those are the things that certainly concern me, and those are just, bits and pieces of what the Patriot Act does. But you roll that into an entire larger picture that adds the military tribunals, the executive orders, the Office of Homeland Security, the infrastructure protection, this new operation by the armed forces called Noble Eagle, which is the entire armed forces domestic anti-terrorism action that involves every branch of the service, new FBI rules, new CIA rules. And step by step, you get to a place, as I said before, that I don't think a lot of Americans are going to want us to be.
Well, I agree with you totally. And we'll be right back here in just a moment here with our special guest this afternoon, Mr. Steve Williams-Michaels. This is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we hope that, of course, many of you will decide that you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is bring the news behind the news, the story behind the story, to people across America. And, of course, we have on liberal guests, we have on conservative guests, but, of course, the main thing is, let's understand what the issues are, and a lot of these issues are not going to be well discussed on many of the mainline programs. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, remember our number. It's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We also hope that you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Pull down our newsletters. Pull down our archive programs that you'll find there. And then, of course, encourage others to go to the website. Encourage them to listen to the programs. Copy the programs. Copy the newsletters. And get it to others. If the American people can be convinced what the problem is, maybe we can turn things around.
A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, Dr. Stan, and our guest is C. William Michaels, an attorney. He's written a great book going into the background of the Patriot Act. And if you're out there across America and you would like to ask him a question, you have a comment, our telephone number is, of course, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, of course, Mr. Michaels expresses his concern about this dramatic increase in the power of government and how this legislation, although most people would think, oh, well, this has to do with those wicked Islamic terrorists. It doesn't have to at all. In fact, there is nothing here in this entire bill that talks anything at all about Islamic terrorism. Isn't it just the term terrorism, however we define it?
Yes, there's no specific mention of Islamic terrorism as a specific or identified separate act or crime.
And yet, of
Patriot
course,
Act. The whole approach is to expand the definition of the federal crime of terrorism and also to add this new crime of domestic terrorism, and then to bring an entirely new set of surveillance, information sharing, enforcement, and review powers to the federal government.
And, of course, it really means that they can check anybody's email. It doesn't have to have anything to do
with
it. And they can check anybody's faxes. They can begin to listen to anybody's telephone. They can search anybody's home.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, people do not understand that this is, of course, what our forefathers fought to avoid. This was what King George was doing. In fact, King George was a piker compared with so much of what's been going on. And so much of this has been going on for a long time through NSA. It has been violating the laws. But now what we've done is make everything that's been done illegally legal. My understanding, it also will allow the CIA to operate in this country openly, where they've been doing it before covertly.
Well, it's not precisely. The restriction against the CIA doing specific domestic and law enforcement and surveillance is still there, but the Patriot Act gets around that by allowing information sharing to occur at almost every level. Grand jury information, domestic information, consumer credit reports, educational reports, financial matters, emails, whatever else anything that's found in a search and seizure by any level of government investigating any other crime that might be considered foreign intelligence, however that's defined, can be put now into an information sharing wheel and can go into almost any other agency of the federal government, including the CIA.
All right, fine.
I want to mention, by the way, Doctor, if I could, that you were mentioning websites. I do have a website for the book.
Go ahead.
If I can note that. Any listeners out there that are interested in taking a look at that, it's www.nogreaterthreat.com. www.nogreaterthreat.com. You'll find more information about the book, and there's an author bio there, and you can post a comment and also order the book if you wish.
All right, fine. That's nogreaterthreat.com. Let's go to Jeanette calling. Hi, Jeanette. Question or comment?
Yes, I have a comment. And talking about these terrorist threats and domestic threats, there's a man I know in Watsonville was arrested last week for allegedly threatening one of his neighbors with a handgun during a dispute. Now, since then, this action is being questioned. But the last sentence of the article says, and I won't mention the man's name, but so-and-so could face prison time if he is convicted of a felony on the terrorist threats charge.
On the terrorist threats.
Terrorist.
So they can begin to twist things any way they want to and make almost any of us criminals. And that was, of course, the fear that this legislation was worded intentionally loosely. So ordinarily, of course, local crime was always a local affair.
Mm-hmm.
But now everything comes under federal control. And the whole idea is we will have now a federal police force and federal, we will begin to federalize our local police and, of course, bring everything under the control of the central government, which is, of course, what all of our founding fathers warned against.
And then you have the issue of military tribunals and the question of whether who can be considered an enemy combatant. There could be aliens who are not necessarily U.S. citizens, of course, who might be seized and then tried before a military tribunal without any kind of due process at all, before a panel of people who are appointed by the Secretary of Defense. And there is no appeal except for an internal appeal, and the president decides ultimately the fate of that person. And access to counsel and access to evidence against you is extremely restricted. This is the kind of stuff that went on during the Civil War, and the Supreme Court didn't like it.
Yeah, I just want to say that I was livid when I read the end of this article, because this is a man I know who is a war veteran, and believe me, no terrorist.
Okay, well, thank you so much,
yes,
Jeanette.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. And if you have another call, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, of course, step by step, little by little, we see the erosion of our freedom. We see now, for instance, they've arrested a couple of American citizens who may or may not be associated with Al-Qaeda, but they're not allowed, even though they're American citizens, they're not allowed a trial, they're not allowed a habeas corpus, they're simply locked up. And the judges have said, you can't do this. And the government has ignored the judges.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, on another occasion, why, of course, the judges said, you've got to give us a list of all these people you've locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And the government said, no, we don't have to. In other words, what we have is a lawless government. It doesn't obey the laws. In fact, one of the things recently about the secret courts, we saw where people who, the three judges in these so-called secret courts.
Federal Intelligence Act Court, right.
Right, and they said, you know, the FBI has been lying to us.
In 75 cases, information provided by the FBI was found to be inaccurate.
Well, so, you know, if you or I were to lie to an FBI agent, we'd go to prison.
We'd be in jail!
Right. But it's all right for an FBI agent to lie to a judge. What's wrong with this scenario?
And just say sorry, you know. Exactly what's wrong with this picture. And that is, in fact, one of the factors. As I mentioned as we were talking, my book, it does not stop with the analysis of the Patriot Act, because as we've been discussing, there's much more to this. And so a large part of the book's discussion is these 12 factors, 12 characteristics that I identify of a national security state, and talk about how the government or how America may be coming close to fulfilling those. And one of the main ones is reduce the role of the judiciary. And you find that, as you pointed out, in almost every dictatorial state or national security state, the courts have been offensively fenced off, or they've been made to serve the interests of the state.
Now, you talk about the national security state scorecard. You go on to talk about the thunderous stars and stripes, an Orwellian theme, an overall theme. What's the thunderous stars and stripes?
Well, that is part of another factor that I identify is called patriotism moving to nationalism. And I think that there's really nothing wrong with good old-fashioned 4th of July style patriotism and being proud of your country and being proud of being American and the legacy that this country has attempted to struggle with over all of its years of moving toward and increasing and expanding, you know, rights to citizens. Although there have been some stumbles along the way, but we can't get into 200 years of history right now. But that kind of patriotism can easily be manipulated by people who know how to do that, and there are ways to do that, into a nationalism which becomes an unquestioning and almost rote sort of complete adherence to and support of anything the government wants to do.
And I think we're seeing that right now.
That is not patriotism, my friends. That is something else. And if we get too close to that line and cross it, as well as all these other factors happening, I think we're going to come to a point almost of no return, and I would hate to see the United States be in that position.
Well, let's go to Roger calling from Allentown. Roger, anything you'd like to say quickly? Because we're almost out of time.
Yeah, I just wanted to toss one last thing in there. I think this secret tribunal court coming out against the FBI and saying you can't do this and that is just a sneaky trick to validate the court itself. Make it sound acceptable because somehow they're looking out for our best interest.
Well, I'll tell you what, you need somebody to look to make sure the police, a force doesn't become a police state. Hey,
yes.
Thanks so much, Alan.
Yes.
Roger, and that's Roger from Allentown. And Roger is saying he thinks that he's sort of on the side of the FBI, saying that you know the secret court is trying to validate itself, but there was a reason these courts were set up, and that was really to determine you know whether or not requests for wiretapping was really justified. In other words, so the FBI couldn't go out and wiretap anybody they wanted to, whether that suspicion of a crime or not.
Well, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act itself, where the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court came from, was passed as one of the results of the Church Committee's investigation of FBI excesses in the 1960s, the COINTELPRO program and so forth, with the investigation of, you know, major civil rights leaders and other folks that the FBI decided that they didn't like. And a lot of, toes were stepped on in that process. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was designed to provide some structure, some order, some care into exactly how the surveillance was supposed to be conducted, and it was supposed to be limited to surveillance of certain foreign nationals and not for necessarily criminal investigation.
But of course, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to misuse their authority.
Right, and that line is being blurred in the Patriot Act.
And of course, the great tragedy is there are people within law enforcement who can justify violating the law of the land because, of course, they want to get the bad guys. And, of course, when they do that, many times they send innocent people to jail. And it's happened many, many, many times. Overzealous law enforcement, and especially if you don't like somebody, can be utilized. Maybe you don't like the color of their skin or their religion or something else about them. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone, sometimes even our police. Look, it's been a real pleasure. I hope we can get you back on some of our other programs.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I hope the listeners found it informative. Once again, if you want to investigate the book more, it's www.nogreaterthreat.com, and I want to thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay, fine. And, of course, Mr. Michaels is a liberal. We agree, though, on most things. We're concerned about what's happening to individual freedom in America. So you have to understand that many times we will agree on many of the major issues, and maybe one day we'll agree on even more. Under any circumstances, please pray for America because we're in trouble. And please pray for our leaders, for our ministers, and please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Please.